Our first Bible reading this morning is from 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 31. This is the Psalm of David. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 31. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendour and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Amen. And our second reading this morning is taken from Acts. And I'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 42 through to the end of the chapter. And this morning I am reading from the New Living Translation. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. This is the Lord's word.
Thanks, Paul, for reading. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. The rain cleared up at the right time for you to come to church. Praise God. Let's pray before we come to God's word. Our Father, we thank you for the words which we've just heard, read for us, and we acknowledge that these are your words. Lord, you revealing yourself to us. Lord, you revealing your desire for us to worship you. So, Father, as we think about this topic this morning, help us to understand and help us to know how we can do that practically. And so we commit ourselves to you now and ask your Holy Spirit to be at work in each and every one of us. We ask this, Father, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have seen in the last few weeks, we've been looking at our mission statement, which is guided by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. And we've been thinking about what it would look like when we live out this mission, what we would be if we live out this mission. And that is our vision statement. In the last 4 weeks, we've spent unpacking the four vision pictures of this vision statement. And he said, when we glorify God by living as followers and witnesses of Jesus, we become learners of the good news. We learn the Bible. We are a learning community. And we not only learn, but we also share the good news of Jesus. We share the good news of Jesus as a missional community. And then we said we are a loving community, where we love people both in and beyond our community. Last week, Ed led us through a study on prayer where we depend on God. We are a praying community. And this week, we come to our final vision picture, which is we worship God. We worship God. We are a community who worships God. Now, I wonder what comes to your mind when you hear the word worship. What comes to your mind when you hear the word worship? What pictures come to your mind? Do you want to share? Bowing down, yep. Kneeling. Singing. Heart of gratitude. Awesome majesty. Anything else?
Adoration.
Right. You might, some people might get picture of singing. We've talked about that, isn't it? The worship, the singing part of the service. We call, okay, that is our worship time. For some, it is bowing down, kneeling before someone. For others, it would be incense and then bells and whistles kind of evoke this worship feeling. For others, it would be offering sacrifices, maybe food sacrifices to a deity. For others, it might be just coming to a big cathedral, being in a big cathedral and kind of feeling the weight of that place we worship. Now, all of these is what kind of we do, the external aspects or expressions of worship. But how do we define worship? How do we define worship? In his little book, the Bible writer and the pastor, John Stott, he says Psalm 105 verse 3 kind of comes as close to a good definition, a biblical definition for what worship is. In Psalm 105 verse 3 told, glory in his name, glory in God's holy name. To glory here has the sense of extravagant honoring, boasting, bragging, reveling and rejoicing, celebrating who God is and what he has done, and taking pleasure, being satisfied in him, glorying in God. And this is what God calls his people to do. This is how God created us to be worshipping him, to be glorying in him, to find pleasure in him. But the sad reality is, in our fallen, sinful nature, we don't worship God. And because we are created to worship, when we don't worship God, we worship something else, don't we? We worship idols. We worship the creation. We worship work, relationships, money, or hobbies, or fitness, or studies. We give our time, our energy, our thinking, our space to all these things other than God. You may remember in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about people who have gone astray from God, people who don't worship God. What have they done? He says, we have exchanged the glory of God. We have exchanged or traded, substituted God's glory for something less than God. So the first thing our vision statement clarifies is the object of our worship. Listen, we worship him. We worship God. We worship the God of the Bible, the creator, the sustainer of the whole universe, the God who redeems, the God who loves the whole world. And that is what we want to be doing, isn't it? We want to become a worshiping community. A community who worships the God of the Bible. Not the trees, not the stars, not the rain, not the thunder, not anything in creation, not anything that is created, but the Creator God. So as we have done in the previous weeks, I want to spend some time looking at how the first church worshipped God. What did worship look like in the first church? And I want to pick up five characteristics of worship visible in the first church, in the reading that we had from the book of Acts chapter 2. See, the first church, they worshipped Jesus. Didn't they? They worshipped Jesus. And you might wonder, where is that? Have a look at verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says, the first disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, the breaking of bread is what we commonly call communion or the Lord's Supper. And this is where we focus on Jesus. We put Jesus in the middle of our time together, of our lives. Because Jesus said, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me. We put him first. We worship Jesus. We glory. We boast in Jesus. Now, why should we worship Jesus? Now, you'll remember Jesus said, Father and I are one. Then Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And Paul wrote to the Colossian church, right? The fullness of God, the fullness of deity now rests in Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, Philippians chapter 2, help us to look forward for the day when Jesus will be worshipped. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. We worship Jesus because he is our Lord. He is our Savior. Which means, friends, when we worship Jesus, we worship God. So we must make sure that in every aspect of our church life, in every aspect of our own lives, that we place Jesus at the center. We place Jesus at the center of everything that we do and say and we think. Because we are called to worship Jesus. And the second thing that we find in these verses is worshiping community is a biblically worshiping community. They worship biblically. What does that mean? That means we worship the God who is revealed in the Bible. We worship the God as revealed in the Bible. As you have seen, the first believers, one of the first things that they did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were a learning community. They learned the Bible. The apostles were teaching the Bible. And because of that, they knew who they were worshipping. They weren't just singing or praying or talking to someone that they did not know. No, they knew who they were worshipping. You may remember in Acts chapter 17, the problem with the Athenian, the city of Athens. Paul goes to the city of Athens and he's walking around this heavily idol-worshipping town, and then he sees like there is an idol for every believer, every god. But then he comes upon this one statue or this monument for the unknown god. And he can't say, well, how can you worship an unknown god? It is impossible to worship a god that you don't know. So what does he say? He says, let me tell you. Let me tell you about this unknown God. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the God who loves us. He's the God who has sent His Son Jesus to save us because He loves us. Because it is impossible for us to worship something that we don't know. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks to the Samaritan woman. And he says that we must worship God, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We'll talk about spirit in a moment. But what does it mean to worship God in truth? It means to worship the true God, isn't it? And the truth about God, His character, His power is revealed where? In the Word of God. It is the Word of God which evokes the worship of God. It is the Word of God which evokes the worship of God. Do we want to be a worshiping community? Then we must continue to devote ourselves to learning the Word of God, Old and the New Testament. Reading, studying, meditating on God's Word on our own, in groups. And we must continue to compare and correct our view of who God is by looking at Scripture. And we must continue to teach and read the Bible in our church gatherings. We must continue to inform our prayers, our singing, our giving, our serving, and everything that we do to worship God. And if you are someone who serves here as an act of worship, and if you're not spending time in the Word of God, friends, you don't know who you are serving. You're worshiping an idol. Spend time, because the more we know God, we can worship Him better. We can worship Him meaningfully. We can worship Him genuinely. The third aspect of worshiping a community is we worship together, don't we? We worship together. As you read these verses, I don't know whether you get the sense that these first believers, they couldn't get enough of themselves, right? I mean, they couldn't have enough of themselves. I mean, they met in the church, verse 46, we are told, and they worshipped, they broke bread, they prayed, and then and they went home, and they didn't go home on their own. No, they took people home. They invited people home. Last week we saw that was part of their fellowship. A couple of weeks ago we saw that. But I want to suggest this going home and inviting people home and spending time with one another as fellow believers is part of worship. They continued to worship their God together, not just in the temple, but back at homes, in their houses. The worship book of the Old Testament is the book of Psalms, isn't it? And in the Psalms, there are all sorts of songs, and most of these songs are corporate in their nature. Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving." Psalm 122, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go to the temple of the Lord and worship Him.'" Psalm 149, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, sing His praises." Where? Not in my own room, no, in the assembly of the faithful. See, when you are a worshiping community, friends, we don't stay as spectators. We become participants. We contribute. When we are a worshiping congregation, we acknowledge and encourage people from different nations and background, and we encourage them to participate in worship. Our worship becomes international, intergenerational, and intercultural, isn't it? It should. When we are worshiping as a congregation, as a community, when we worship together, we get to encourage one another, lift each other up. We get to learn and appreciate how different people worship God. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews, he says, well, you know, guys, don't give up. Don't give up meeting together, as some of us in the habit of doing that. Because when we come together, we get to spur one another, encourage one another. You know, sometimes there have been some Sundays I don't feel like coming to church. And then Faustin reminds me, you're the pastor. You should go to church. Thank her. Because when I come here, I come with nothing, but then I leave encouraged, challenged, uplifted. I mean, that's what Paul prayed at the beginning, isn't it? I mean, he said we want us to, each one of us to leave uplifted, drawn closer to God. We may come with nothing on a Sunday morning or when we are meeting the pastor or someone, a Christian group, but then you get to leave uplifted, encouraged, because you hear the stories. Next week, come along. You got at least a couple of people sharing their stories, amazing stories of how God has been working in their lives. Be uplifted. You know, that's what we do when we worship together. Each one of us has a story. So don't give up opportunities to meet with other Christians, not in the church, just in the church, but outside the church. Meet for coffee. Meet for a meal. Because it gives us an opportunity to spur one another. It gives us an opportunity to be spurred. Because we are called to worship together. The fourth is when we are a worshiping community, we worship God spiritually. We worship God spiritually. Now, then the Samaritan woman, you know, in John chapter 4, we talked about it before, when she was telling Jesus, you know what, we worship God in this mountain, you worship God in that place. And Jesus tells her, you know what, we must now worship God in truth and in spirit. Now, Jesus doesn't mean that we worship God in the Holy Spirit. There is we do get guided by the Holy Spirit to worship. He inspires us to worship God. But what the reference here is, our spirit, our inner being, which is also called as our heart. Jesus wants us to see what matters is not where we worship or the ceremonies that we do or the rituals that we do. That's not what matters now. What matters is our heart posture. How we worship. Where is our heart when we worship? Where is our heart when we pray? Where is our heart when we sing? Where is our heart when we serve? What matters to God is our heart's posture, isn't it? Because often, as Isaiah says in verse chapter 29, it says, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far. You sometimes sense that? I do. Our hearts are far. We just go through the motions. We need to come back to true worship, heartfelt worship, sincere worship. John Stott writes again, says, too much of our worship is ritual without reality, form without power, fun without fear, religion without God. Ritual without reality, form without power, fun without fear, religion without God. When we read Acts chapter 2, verse 46, says they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their houses and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Their worship was sincere, wasn't it? In verse 43, if you have your Bibles, I don't have the verse up here. Again, it says that when they were worshiping, they were filled with awe. Reverence. They were glad, they were joyful, but they were also filled with awe. Because they knew who they were worshiping. So when we worship God spiritually, we bring our hearts as well to worship God. We pay more attention to what's in our hearts than to our rituals. We take time to make Jesus the Lord of our hearts. We take time to confess our sins. We take time to commit our ways to God. We approach worship, we approach service with fear and trembling. We take time to be guided by the Holy Spirit, because we are called to worship God spiritually. Which leads us to our next point. When we are a worshiping community, we worship God with a life of worship. We worship God all the time. And did you notice, for the first believers, worship didn't end at their church. They went home, they took people home, they worshipped people at home. But then that didn't end there. Their worship didn't stop at home either. No, they continued to worship God. How do we know? The last section of verse 46 says, they enjoyed the favor of all people. All people here refers to people in their community. Non-Christians, probably their work colleagues, the people that they studied with. Because their worship was visible to people. Now that doesn't mean that they went around singing worship songs every 2 minutes in their workplace. That doesn't mean they went around wearing a Jesus t-shirt or what would Jesus do bracelet. That doesn't mean every 5 words they kind of said, praise the Lord. No. They must have done that. But it was the way they lived, isn't it? The way they spoke, the way they worked, the way they studied, the way they played. There was something different. People began to notice something different. Because they no longer lived for themselves. They loved. They cared, they were generous, they were forgiving one another, they were bearing with one another. They worked hard and they were honest. And you walk them to walk 1 mile, they walk 2 miles. When you slap one on one side, they turn the other cheek. Why? Because they had begun to worship Jesus. Jesus had become their new Lord, their new boss, and the Holy Spirit has begun a work of transformation in their lives. And these believers, they began to live out their transformed life in public, in the community, among their family and friends who were non-Christians, who were non-believers. It wasn't easy. They struggled, I'm sure they did. But they kept on trying. Their work became worship. Paul writes to the Colossian church, he said, whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as the reward. It is the Lord that you are serving. You see, friends, when we worship Christ, He becomes the Lord, the master of every area of our life. We worship Him in every area of our life. Our work becomes worship. Our raising children becomes worship. Our hobbies becomes worship. Our gardening, our marriage, our future planning becomes worship. So let me ask you this morning, are you worshiping Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? Is He the Lord of your work? Is He the Lord of your talents, Lord of your marriage, Lord of your studies, Lord of your finances, Lord of your material possessions? Are you at least in the process of replacing, changing the order of your life, that you are trying to put Jesus at number one? Is He the Lord of your worries, your concerns? You know, when Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, what is he calling? He's calling us to worship God in all circumstances. Glory in Him in all circumstances. God calls us to everyday lifelong worship. And I like how Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 talks about this. This life of worship. I like how the Message translation kind of paraphrases this. Got it on the board for us. Let me read that. So here's what I want you to do. This is Paul talking to the Roman church. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out. That's what God wants to see happening, isn't it? Changed from inside out, where we worship God from inside. And it impacts how we worship Him outside. God calls us for a life of worship. He equips us for a life of worship, where we glory in Him. And if you read the last verse of Acts chapter 2, it says when we worship God, what does God do? He keeps adding people to the church. When we worship God, when we are a worshiping community, God keeps adding people to the church. And this is what we want to be. A worshiping community. A worshiping community who worships Jesus. Who worships biblically. Who worships together. Who worships spiritually. Who worships all the time. Can we do that? That's what God calls us to do. And that's what God equips us to do. And if you feel like, well, I'm not equipped to do that, well, that's one thing we can do. We can ask God to help us, equip us to worship Him. Worship Him. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us to do that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to understand, to remind ourselves again and again and again that You have called us, You have created us, You have made us to worship You. And this morning we want to take a moment and pause and ask forgiveness for the times that we haven't worshipped You. Forgive us for the times that we have traded the immortal Creator God for something less. Forgive us. And Father, this morning we pray, please help us to see the worth of Jesus so we may worship Him. And help us to devote ourselves to know you more, know Jesus more through your word. And help us this morning, Father, in the days to come, to worship together. Well, we have differences. We rub the wrong way, but Father, help us to worship you together. Help us to see opportunities to build each other up. Help us to worship you spiritually. Not to focus on rituals and ceremonies, but to think about our heart posture. And Father, help us to live as worshippers every day. Because this is what you call us to do. To live as worshippers who worship the living God. And as you do, may you bring people more and more closer to you. May you bring people to the church. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In his name. Amen.